My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, "Trust me, I know what I'm doing." Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, a conversation with Matthew Spacey, founder of Magic Bus, and Will Straw, CEO of Prince's Trust International. Stay tuned. So a huge thank you to everyone for listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, and sharing it with your friends and family, and for following us on social media. And again, if you're enjoying these conversations, please take a moment to submit a kind rating and review wherever you might be listening or watching, as it's truly appreciated. As a pediatrician, I'm grateful that it's in my consciousness nearly every day, but it deserves saying over and over again that the true impact of our actions now are actually tomorrow's realities for today's children and young people. Now, with so much going on in the world, and since last week was Thanksgiving here in the US, I wanted to take a moment to think critically about what we're doing to accelerate prosperity, health, and fulfillment for future generations, especially in India, where both the gaps and potential opportunities for youth are simply enormous. And like it or not, even though we're so globally connected, creating structural change requires a thoughtfulness that acknowledges that we often start these conversations from the outside looking in and need to really understand vantage points and local context before asking the questions of who and why and how much. A few weeks ago, I had the chance to sit down with Matthew Spacey and Will Straw. Matthew's a former rugby professional and entrepreneur, and the founder of Magic Bus, a nonprofit he established nearly 25 years ago, after what began as an afternoon rugby game with local youth, transformed into a community-based ecosystem of engagement through mentoring, sustainable vocation and life skill training, education with activity-based curriculum, and ongoing support to go from childhood to livelihood for marginalized youth across India and South Asia. In 2023, Magic Bus will work with about 1 million children and place 120,000 young people in gray and white collar jobs. And Will Straw is the CEO of Prince's Trust International, where he leads their work delivering education, employability, and enterprise programs to young people around the world, synchronizing with local delivery partners like Magic Bus. Prince's Trust International currently has 40 partnerships in 18 countries and has directly supported over 28,000 young people in the last year to gain employment and life skills for the world of work. Together, the aim in India and South Asia is to impact 7 million adolescents by 2027 and build even more programs for women in rural communities. We caught up as Matthew and Will were sharing their work with potential donors, and we had a chance to chat about their ongoing challenges and opportunities, defining success and lessons learned, and even the optics and reality of colonial history and race as it factors into building trust. But I started by asking Matthew to reflect a bit on what's changed and even what's remained the same with Magic Bus since he began. Matthew, it's been nearly 25 years now since Magic Bus started with creating sort of an open door framework. And, you know, I'm curious, especially for that open door for youth, who were at least on the outside looking in. And in that time now, what's changed and perhaps what hasn't changed about youth today who are perhaps still on the outside looking in, and perhaps what's changed about who and what they're looking at?
Yeah, that's a really good first question. A lot has changed, of course, you know, and, principally and probably the size of the problem that we saw coming, you know, so this wave is something, you know, we've been looking at. And today, when you look at the demographic in India, right now, you can look at it from two lenses. One is of complete horror and one is of complete optimism. And there is still, I still think the jury's out. You know, obviously, there's a sense from the perspective we look at it, this window we look through is of, look at this amazing opportunity and we have, the time is now. I also believe, you know, the macro environment as well, the politics, society, the community we all live in are starting to recognize that we can't have so many angry, upset young people. You know, so you really do have to deal with this. I mean, it's very in everyone's good. So I think from the maths perspective, the numbers in that 25 years have shifted. to a point where we have to do something. The second piece, I think, in terms of aspirations and how young people are looking at this, technology has changed everything. You know, when I started Magic Bus, we didn't have mobile phones.
Right.
You know, I'd say now, you know, this is pretty well validated data, but pretty much now, even though we're dealing with, you know, extremely impoverished, you know, marginalized young people, they have access to technology. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're seeing things now that they didn't see before, you know. So it's, sure, you know, what has been traditionally an agricultural sort of quite a karmic sort of Gandhian view, I think, you know, of how, you know, how we'd like to exist in India, to being one where I'm starting to get a sense of what I could be, but I don't know how to get there. And then that's the good and the bad thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And I appreciate that the access is just so democratized, right? I mean, there's access to education, there's access on your phones. Mobiles have sort of driven this. And we hope, of course, that access drives empathy. And so Will, I'm curious, from that version, empathy being such a profound driver for this work, right? Mm-hmm. We have a shared humanity, mm-hmm, and we appreciate the sort of like gaps in the divide. But how do you scale that? How do you scale that sort of deep empathy that we all sort of have, but with the work that you're doing in a way that it's compelling to others on a day-to-day basis, and especially to those who might be new to understanding these problems, understanding these situations?
Mm. Well, I think it's worth going back as well and reflecting on Prince's Trust's history, founded in 1976 by King Charles, His Majesty, when he was Prince of Wales. And at that time, very much focused on social unease in the UK, a period of industrial strife and high levels of youth unemployment. And the initial programmes were to help young people in the UK to gain the skills for meaningful work or to set up their own business. And that's really driven the philosophy of the Prince's Trust in the following 5 decades.
Yeah.
And now expanded programmes to 23 countries, including, of course, India. And I think you're right, it is that insight about empathy and the importance of giving young people a chance to succeed. Mm. But knowing that while there is a moral dimension to this work, there is also a self-interested dimension, which is that if you let young people down, if young people are not provided with the opportunities to better themselves, to find work that they find meaningful, to advance careers, then we know the consequences. And that's where, you know, countries over the years have found social unrest. So I think exactly as Matthew says, we're at this inflection point in India where there are profound demographic changes taking place, this incredible youth population, great advances in sort of early childhood development, and reductions in the mortality of under fives, leading to many more young people reaching the age of 18.
Yeah. Burgeoning population.
Absolutely. How do you scale it? Well, I think that is where the work of organisations like Magic Bus and Prince's Trust come in, but also where governments need to recognise what young people are telling them, which is that education systems are not preparing young people for the world of work. So there have been great advancements in India, as in many other countries with education systems, very significant increases in attendance, but it's not necessarily translating into attainment or indeed in the skills that will equip people for the world of work.
I'm curious about one thing in that, you know, if I'm not mistaken, this is the 5th year of partnership now with Magic Bus and Prince's Trust, right?
It is, yeah.
So I mean, first off, congratulations on that. And if you think about that backdrop, right? So there's the empathy to scale. There's this idea that we're, you know, really making progress when it comes to some public health things and enabling and empowering youth to live hopefully happier, better, more productive, and, you know, engage in that livelihood. I'd be curious as to how you recall some of those first impressions when learning about this work. Mm. And, you know, now as in leading this effort with Prince's Trust, if you had to reflect back on when you first learned about Magic Bus, how would you describe what an effort and the work that, say, Matthew is doing, how would you describe this to a prospective partner?
Mm. Well, I'm a bit of a Johnny Come Lately because I joined Prince's Trust International in 2020. Ah. So the program was already underway by then. It had been piloted and the scaling had started. And then, of course, COVID had hit as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much of the delivery was moved online. So my first impressions of Magic Bus were of an organization that was very, very significant in scale, had great competence, and in terms of our own partnership, in terms of the Get Into program, was already delivering results for young people in the most difficult circumstances.
Sure.
So it was the easiest decision for me to take to say, well, we should be putting more of our resource into this partnership.
Yes.
Thankfully, Magic Bus were keen to do the same.
Yeah.
And so we've been able to significantly scale the Get Into program over the 5 years of the partnership,
yeah,
reaching around 5,000 young people last year.
And I think, you know, we're at a stage, both of us, you know, I think we're not startups. You know, we've got, yeah, we have a great deal of pedigree in the work we do. And I think, you know, I think with that comes a level of maturity about focusing more on the impact rather than our brands,
yeah,
operating to get to that impact.
Sure.
Right. So, you know, we live, I believe, in a world where there is increasingly connectiveness, you know, yeah, not just from the technical perspective, as individuals,
sure,
you know, and how we looking at it, how we all, you know, how we are all into,
yeah,
beings, right? So,
yeah,
so, and I think, you know, this idea of coming to that 1+1=3, but
yeah,
I'm, you know, both Will and I are here to look at how do we forge a much closer partnership, bring in more partners, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about, you know, spoke about this crisis in many ways of youth in India. I think it's a 40% unemployment rate now of, yeah, under 23-year-olds, 3%, 4% of children in 12th standard get placed in organized sector jobs. Magic Buses is a tiny cog in that, right? And I think, you know, and I think Will also says, well, we are also, but right, actually, if we start building coalition,
yeah,
if we have a more collegiate approach to the fact that we can focus on what is that North Star of impact, and how do we just bring fellow journeymen into that, is I think the wisdom that makes the work.
I think the other point I would make is that scale is obviously the goal.
Right.
There is this incredible need, and
yeah,
the impact of what we do is profound, but we shouldn't lose sight because of the, you know, extraordinary numbers. Whenever you think about,
yeah,
anything in relation,
yeah,
to India, to feel hopeless about it.
Yeah.
Each individual person who is supported by a program and has the chance to raise themselves up,
yeah,
to fulfill their potential, is something that should be celebrated.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with Matthew Spacey and Will Straw. Stay tuned. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Lily Singh, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tam France.
Hi, guys. I'm Ananya Pandey.
Hi, my name is Richa Morjani, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with Matthew Spacey, founder of Magic Bus, and Will Straw, CEO of Prince's Trust International.
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, you both kind of touch on this, and it leads into this whole idea. I mean, this is arduous work. I mean, this is something that's iterative. You are incrementally trying to make advances, and the scale of this is really profound. And like many major large-scale issues, it can sometimes feel like you're trying to boil the ocean, or you're trying to count every grain of sand on the beach and not leave anything behind. So how do you, in doing work like this, in fact, define or even appreciate success?
Again, you know, with Asia, I think you kind of look, these are about nudges, and this is about sort of what, you know, these are the small actions, as Will,
yeah,
just referred to, right? And I think what we understand as well with those small actions, there is ripple, right? So you,
yeah,
can now start, we work in communities now where someone has come successfully through a program, and it's a girl in a community, and she's a first-time organized sector worker.
Mm.
And the impact that has, not just on her own family, but also through...
Sure.
You know, through that entire community.
Yeah. Some storytelling,
even. Absolutely. I'll tell you a story. There's a woman called Gulfsha, from Delhi, who went on the Get Into program during the pandemic. You know, she's from a disadvantaged setting. Parents had lost their jobs during during COVID, and she went through the program, and then she got a job working in the insurance sector, and being able to work from home. So this is to the digital skills point, that she was given a laptop and connectivity, and she was able to work from home, and she has trebled her family's income through her role. She's been able to get the fees to put siblings through their education. And she was awarded the Prince's Trust Global Young Achiever of the Award for 2022.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is an example, and there are many, many more.
Right.
But hers was particularly striking.
Yeah.
And it's obviously the impact for her. You know, I had the great honour to give her the award at a ceremony we did at the British High Commission in January of this year. And then she came to the King's coronation and sat in Westminster Abbey. And so I had a chance to sort of talk to her on a couple of occasions. And just the self-confidence that she now has because of this opportunity, but also the ripple effect that's having for her family, for her community.
It's almost like building circles of empowerment, if you will, because they're so additive in that way. We struggle with this in medicine a lot. I mean, as a pediatrician, people come to my office to see me, and there's a toughness to that because you're not necessarily meeting people where they are. And, you know, in going through this, I really admire the place-based success of some of these programs, particularly of what's going on with Magic Bus. But, you know, for both of you, what does meeting youth where they are mean? And especially as it pertains to the who and the how in 2023?
Well, I think these programs will only work if they are shaped by young people, responsive to young people, and help young people to achieve the outcomes that they want.
Right.
And
so there's a lot of listening.
There has to be, because, you know, there are plenty of youth programs around the world that we come across from time to time, which are very well-meaning, but they are struggling to retain the young people. They're struggling to get the young people to complete the programs and get the outcomes that will help propel them. Because for one reason or another, they haven't listened to the young people. So it's absolutely essential that these programs are constantly being iterated. And of course, that means being place-based. Pay a small stipend to help a young person with the transport costs and the food costs to join the program. But ultimately, if you're not in their community, then it's not going to help them.
Yeah, and I think just to build on that as well, you know, so and my the context of, you know, Magic Bus has always been around sort of the intervention, has always tried to make it as relevant as possible to young people, and the vehicle is sport. There's this sort of coined phrase now, which is about using sport for development as a... So this idea that, you know, if you close your eyes in a village, any young person will gravitate towards that ball because young people love to play. And then how do you use that opportunity to them...
almost an accelerator for relationship development.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's the relevance of that. But also I think, you know, and this is where I think our relationship has really resonated the most. So it's once you've created that environment where you have a young person listening and feeling, and they're participating, it's a safe place physically, emotionally, etc. It's about what you do with that. And I think for me, it was a difficult lesson because I did it the wrong way first, but is you don't jump straight to the opportunity structure. So you don't sort of jump straight in and say, we're going to give you a job, because I did that and I failed, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is also what differentiates Prince's Trust, the Magic Buses, you know, and the hundreds of thousands of young people we work with every year, is that it's so much about the idea that a young person living in incredibly challenging environments can be successful and happy. You know, and this idea of happiness is just something we're sort of less patient with, I think, as people. Outside world is, Will and I are sort of, that's what we're trying, you know, because it, you know, there's a lot of, in our world, there's a lot of box ticking, right?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, put them on a training program, they got a job, right?
Right.
But I think what we've both learned would be the fact that you have to build the relevance in the way that you're delivering, but also there is, it's all about agency, this actualization process a young person needs to go through to say, I can do this, right? Mm. And then the job piece, to be honest, is never easy. It's never an easy thing, but it's definitely the easier part of the you know, the equation and the success piece.
You know, you mentioned that, like, the lens often for the people who are having conversations with both of you, in fact, based upon the attention spans and box checking that's actually out there, that's a reality for many people. Yet in the end, it's all about building ladders, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if we think about building ladders for life skills and employability, but learning from the mistakes of the past, that, you know, it's not just simply about giving someone a job. It's actually a lot more holistic than that, right? Yeah. But still, it requires capital. It requires social and structural change. So in an era where there's a lot of box checking and there's a lot of choices that, you know, people have to make, and limits on time and resources and attention, is philanthropy enough? Is it, it's one part of it. And yet, how do you actually make it a holistic version where you're enveloping policy and social changes and, you know, even just sort of cultural embedding of this kind of, you know, philosophy, so to speak? Mm.
Well, ultimately,
it's a really complex question.
No, but it's a brilliant one.
Absolutely right. And I mean, in a sense, the history of social progress has been charities addressing social need in a localized way with therefore much disparity.
Yeah.
And bit by bit, government recognizing the importance of that provision. So if you look at the growth of public education systems, of public housing projects, you know, in some countries, of course, not the US, public health systems.
Sure.
So I think in this space, there are several things that are happening. That the first is a recognition that the modern world of work requires more than just numeracy and literacy. Yeah. It requires what the International Labour Organization calls core skills. Some people refer them to as soft skills, but actually they're quite hard.
Yeah.
Self-confidence, communication, teamwork, problem solving, resilience, managing feelings.
Yeah.
And so a recognition that this is something that education systems will have to absorb.
Yeah.
Secondly, in many countries around the world, there are significant demographic challenges with a cohort of young people coming of age who will not all achieve jobs in the formal economy. Mm-hmm. And so many will need to branch out on their own and become entrepreneurs, employing their peers. And then thirdly, but just as importantly, a recognition that employers have a responsibility to take a bit of a chance on young people, that young people can't gain experience if they don't get a job. So sometimes it's right to do that on the job training. Now, these are things that are absolutely central to the philosophy, vision, mission of Magic Bus and Prince's Trust. But we will only be able to reach a fraction of the young people in India or further afield on our own with the generous philanthropic support. Hence, the answer to your question is that, in a sense, we might be the canary in the coal mine, having focused on this issue for some years, trying to alert bigger decision makers in government, in business, in civil society to focus on this issue.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
No, excellent answer. And I think, so as you get to a certain critical mass yourselves, right, we've kind of reached a size where we say, okay, well, if you know, in a country like India, when you look ahead, that there's about half a billion people who are out of work at the moment, and sort of there's people smarter than us have gone and said, well, actually, you know, the non-profit sector like you can probably deal with 100 million. Sure. I mean, there's silly numbers, right?
Sure.
And so you sort of say, well, actually, you know, in order to address that, Magic Bus, you know, Prince's Trust, what's the critical size we need to get to prove and validate systemic change? Mm. Yeah, and so it's point, we can't do the government's work, you know?
Yeah.
And so you sort of start pulling in all the various stakeholders you think are going to be important when you think about systemic change, you know, so that policy and government, of course, are there, you know, the capital systems we have are there, the social fabric of community and nonprofits are there. And so inevitably has to become that, right? So, and you're a fool if you don't think, if you, you know, if Magic Bus was to go out and say, look, we can solve the 100 million.
Yeah.
You know, look at us, we've got a great IP, you know, it's algorithmic.
You need coalitions, you need
absolutely
a family of builders.
And in some ways, it's foolish to go beyond the size that you feel you need to advocate, because the government have a critical role. Business has a critical role.
Yeah.
You know, philanthropists have a critical role. Yeah. And in many ways, your conversation goes away from, so you know, we're here in both here because we want to try and raise capital to feed our programs. But ultimately, the other conversation, the parallel conversation, is how do I persuade you this is a larger problem than that, right?
Yeah.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with Matthew Spacey and Will Straw. Stay tuned. Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Cal Penn. I'm an actor, author, former public servant, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi there, I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with Matthew Spacey, founder of Magic Bus, and Will Straw, CEO of Prince's Trust International.
And you think about that exact sort of juxtaposition, right? I mean, you both are here, you know, hopefully to raise awareness and raise capital, but then there's also a very important local conversation that happens at each and every one of these areas where youth are, where vulnerable populations are. When you think about the conversations you're having, I know the answer to this, but why should a global community find connection with empowering youth, women, other vulnerable populations in India and South Asia? I mean, we have plenty of priorities to try and deal with in you know, across the globe, but why should that connection in fact be important?
There's a, you know, perhaps a bit trite saying that young people are the future.
Yeah.
I mean, it is literally true.
Yeah, yeah.
And so obviously we take issues like climate change incredibly seriously because of their long-term impacts. But the futures of young people is at least as important. And to our point earlier on, if young people do not have the opportunity to further themselves, to build their own futures, to succeed, then we are storing up huge issues for ourselves. So there is that moral dimension, but there's also an element of self-interest. And of course, if you look at where the young people are, then it's very, very predominantly in India, in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, that's where the population growth is.
You know, and I won't add much more to other than say, look what's kicking off right now, right, around the world.
Yeah.
And if you can't have communities that are struggling in the manner that they are and it not have a global impact, right? So as Will said, if you look at it even from the basis of self-interest, this is going to start. You know, and I'd love to think, though, that I certainly see this new energy emerging, you know, of understanding our interconnectedness, right, with nature, with ourselves, and just this idea that actually, you know, when you sneeze here, you know, there's an impact there and vice versa, right? And so, but it is, you know, it is hopefully more deep rooted in the fact that, you know, it kind of reflects on this, where have you got to where, even though it's in India or in parts of Africa or wherever, right, that I don't care anymore, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, I think there is a sense of reflection around that at the moment.
Yeah, and there's a, you know, almost a, I care, but I don't care. I have a futility about this sometimes, and that can go for so many different issues, whether it's climate or conflicts that are happening, poverty. And yet the optimism that we also have is important, because by definition, we're hopefully optimistic about our youth, and we continue to have that kind of feel. When you talk to people who are new to this work, they're newly learning about the work of Prince's Trust, or newly we're learning about the work of Magic Bus, what do you find that they're most surprised by? you find that they're most surprised by? And perhaps, you know, what are both of you continually surprised by when you have these conversations?
I think the proportion of youth unemployment is always a surprise to people.
Just the sheer numbers.
Just the sheer numbers. Yeah. And, you know, particularly if they are in the United States or United Kingdom, where thankfully youth unemployment is low, not as low as it could be,
right,
but is low. And there are other issues, of course. But when you look at the, you know, I think Matthew mentioned the 23% of young people in
40% under 23, yeah.
40% under 23.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, similar proportions in sub-Saharan Africa, in the Middle East, and so on. That I think wakes people up. And if you think about how you would feel if that were your child,
absolutely. Yeah, you know,
I think that is probably the most surprising,
almost jarring to some degree. Yeah,
and I think also that, you know, what I increasingly hear is, I think when people take the time, you know, to understand, of course, the problem, but I think there are also some really good solutions as well.
Yeah,
and I think this is what, you know, so I'd be as bold as to say, you know, if you give us $200, there's an 85% chance that the child we just talked about will get a job that will move him from poverty, or her from poverty. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a magical thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like there's no solution. So there's an opportunity here for you to engage. We're giving you that, we're gifting you that, if you like, you know? And so it's not a helpless situation.
Right. I want to be sensitive to this, but it's a question that I've grappled with. And I have to be honest, I even grappled with this in thinking about the conversation with both of you. We share this incredible passion for helping youth. And yet being sensitive to that idea of the outside looking in, and what you're looking in at, and who you are as on the outside, there's a history, an undeniable history of the past, whether it's colonialism or race or power and equity, that's surely, you know, part of this conversation, and totally builds a role, or builds, you know, it has a major role in building trust. Mm-hmm. How do you bridge some of these previous realities with the conversation about building trust in 2023 with the work that you do?
So I think I'll answer the big elephant first, right? Because we're talking about imperialism and colonialism and white saviorism, and you know, and then you're sitting with two English people talking about India. Your audience going, what the hell, you know, kia ora. So I think, you know, and I think, of course, it's there, right? So and it has had a profound impact on, I think personally, on, you know, how the India story's played out, you know, and what happened in the past. You know, Magic Bus, you know, I founded it. I happen to be a Brit landing in India. The organization is a wholly Indian organization, you know, the CEO, the board. It, you know, sometimes it does take the different context, I'd say, to, you know, when you sort of land somewhere and you say, actually, well, why is it like this?
Yeah.
But you build a highly, you know, indigenous contextual organization. And I think that's the beauty of it, right? Because we are where we are. And what we've understood is that organizations like Will's, you know, Prince's Trust, they've been doing work for 25 years before we even came on the scene, right? So there's a legacy there of the IP, the sort of what works with young people that I think we've been able to pick up. So you get the beauty of having the, you know, that we have 3,000 staff in India, probably another 3,000 semi-employed. You know, so we're wholly Indian, right? And I think, you know, and more we understand when you talk about entrepreneurism, or you're talking about, it's all has to be contextual to what you talk about, and even the language you talk in.
Right? Sure.
But that doesn't mean that there aren't great things out there that you can fast track that process, because we need to fast track it. So
and build community, by the way, too.
Prince's Trust's point of view, we have programs in 23 countries, but we work exclusively with local partners in those countries. So we worked with and work with Magic Bus because they're an Indian organization, not because they were set up by another Brit, but because they are an Indian organization that over the 20 years before we started partnering,
of course,
had built these incredibly deep links into communities. And so we don't, as Prince's Trust International, even set up country offices. We think that's a waste of our donors' funding, because we can work with local partners.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a great thing. One last, you know, thought. I'm curious for both of you. What have you personally learned from the work you do, but particularly from the youth that the Prince's Trust and Magic Bus serve?
I think for me, it's the incredible ingenuity of young people. It goes back to this sort of central philosophy for our work, which is about providing young people with a hand up, not a hand out. And it's how young people take those opportunities. So if I think about my conversation with Gulfshire, if I think about some of the other young people from India or wherever it is around the world, and how they have taken the opportunity presented to them, whether that's through a get into program with a job or through our entrepreneurship program, setting up their own business. It's how they've gripped these opportunities.
Sure.
and shown how worthwhile the investment is.
So I completely agree with that, right? So it's full of surprises.
Yeah.
And I think just to build the next chapter onto what Will has just said, it's what they do after that as well, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, and these ideas of alumni networks we're building out now, which, when you move young people from poverty, because you've suddenly given them financial security, and that happens in a generation. But I would like to think that the majority of young people millions of young people now have, are coming back into the system and saying, how can I help build a better country? How can I be part of this?
Yeah.
You know, the how can I change that environment that I've come from? And that's why I have so much optimism, really, I do, about this, what's about to happen in the world, not just in India, because I think young people are realizing they're holding the reins and building a new cultural and environmental, a financial context to I think our next chapter.
I think that prospect and the learnings it's providing for everyone involved are so rich and definitely give us a lot of hope. Will Straub, Matthew Spacey, thank you so much for joining us. This was a real treat, and congratulations on the work and for what's to come.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. And please visit both Magic Bus and Prince's Trust International online to learn more. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.